Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning from Jerusalem. It is cold out there. It is cold out there. And I am so happy to be with you on this Erev Thanksgiving in America, but in the rest of the world as well. My name is Andrea Simintov, and you are listening to Pull Up a Chair on Israel News Talk Radio with me. Okay, what do you think about this new time? I'm up since so early, just getting ready for you, very nervous, frightened. I would sleep through it. And for the rest of you, I pray that all my overseas friends are busy basting their turkeys, setting their tables. And we have a lot to share today. I must tell you that I have no regrets. Well, not as this morning, but I have no ganza regrets about moving to Israel. There's very little I miss about the old country. And frankly, you can get everything here. I'm an avowed Zionist. I believe that Jews should live in our country. And I wake up every day firm in this knowledge. Nevertheless, between you, me, and the light post, man, oh man, do I miss Thanksgiving. As a Torah observant Jew, I must tell you that Thanksgiving was the one holiday each year that we could all celebrate together from every corner of my family, from those who were not religious to the intermarried spouses, to my parents who lived too far away for us to walk back and forth on the Sabbath. We could get together on Thanksgiving, and my ex-husband is Israeli. I was going to say he was Israeli, but he's still Israeli. And he really enjoyed it. It was wonderful to see him absorbing the Americana of this wonder. We did it right. I mean, it was no canadles and brisket for us. It was the basted turkey. It was the wood-burning fireplace. It was the pumpkin pie and the spices. And a lot of people here in Israel, they do Thanksgiving, but they do a Thanksgiving Shabbos because it is too difficult. We're going to come back on the other side, and I'll speak with you on Pull Up a Chair.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
And we are back. Good morning from Jerusalem. Good night, America. Hello, Iceland. Hello, John in Chicago. I'm so happy you're on. And we have somebody listening in from Texas. Please, everybody, press the chat line. Let me know where you're calling from, where you're listening from. And I'll perhaps mention you if I'm in the mood. Two cups of coffee, anything can happen. All right, did you, living in Israel, order your turkey? You cannot go in and get the kosher butterball that you can in America. All right, here we go. You're listening to Andrea Simintov, Pull Up a Chair on Israel News Talk Radio at the unfathomable hour of 7 a.m. The concept of a national day of Thanksgiving is oxymoronic, according to Judaism. Wait, I'll explain. Don't press exit. I promised you that I would never get deeply involved in either politics or religion, but today is a quasi-exception. The first words out of the Jewish mouth when we get up in the morning, our hovering souls returning to these flesh and blood containers that we call bodies, and these bodies that we spend most of our lives adorning and maintaining and feeding and sometimes even abusing are words of thanks. Thank you, God, for giving me another day and another chance to right wrongs, clean my spiritual house, better the world, and revel in your goodness. You know, every time a yid opens his or her mouth to eat or drink, words of praise and blessing are supposed to come out. Blessings that are definitely not needed in heaven. Heaven will do its thing, baby. But we create our own heaven on earth. And as we ape our creator, perhaps we leave our Dalet Amos, our four walls around us, just a little holier. God gives, God blesses, God wants for us the things we want for ourselves. And we are created to command ourselves in his image. Okay, we're going to get a little bit personal here, even to say that when we go to the bathroom and we live to tell about it. Okay. There's a lot of groaning in this house in the bathroom. Anyway, when we live to tell about it, it's because everything worked according to design. We have another opportunity to thank, to feel gratitude. I don't know about you, but I've had the experience of meeting people who have to wear a colostomy bag or have to have dialysis 3 times a week. There are days that are better than other days. Now, the idea for this show came about last Shabbos. I awakened in the middle of the night, and I was in this warm and toasty house in Beit El. It's the home of my stepdaughter, Michali, and her husband, Yochanan. The Sabbath stew, called a chulent, it was bubbling. And I got to tell you, that aroma drove me almost crazed with hunger. There were children sleeping upstairs in their bedrooms. They were clean. They were pajamaed. They were immunized against disease and delusionally safe with the knowledge that no harm is going to befall them. Now, my new knees, they were aching. And, but I have to tell you, these are knees that I received at one of the top teaching hospitals in the world. I wobbled to a piped and tiled bathroom. Stick with me on this. It's all going to gel. And 2 powerful painkillers were in my hand that I had purchased at a well-stocked pharmacy. All right. I turned on a faucet, clean water flowed out, and I swallowed them. Just by connecting to a higher level of consciousness, I experienced, this is really true, I had an almost mind-blowing understanding of the miracles that envelop me every moment of this glorious existence. Thanksgiving, thanksgiving, thanksgiving. Awareness morphing into holy connection. The mundane becoming holy. I thought about you, and I thought about the obligation of this program. A friend of mine, Myrna, years ago, oh, many years ago, when one of my married daughters was only being bat mitzvahed, she came over to me. I said, oh, you look lovely. And she said, what's the matter with my dress? I said, nothing. She said, no, really, is my dress ugly? I said, your dress looks great. Well, apparently her house had been ransacked, robbed top to bottom, gutted. The expensive American clothing that she had filled from, I don't even know the stores anymore, filled her closets and drawers because you could never get clothing in Israel in those years. It was gone, gone, gone. One dress. They left one dress. And she couldn't understand what was so heinous about this dress that even the robbers wouldn't take it. And it reminds me of that, the vial of pure Hanukkah oil. Myrna wore that dress for 8 days and 8 nights, and she attended other more pressing she had more pressing issues than what to wear. So when one dress out of 50 had been meaningless to her, she was humbled by the blessing of having something to wear other than a bathrobe. You know, every client comes to me, and when we finish, I would say 9.5 times out of 10, I get a hug and a thank you for helping them look more beautiful than when I had a speech impediment, than when they arrived. They pay me. They smile. They have a kind word. Should I be cocky? Should I be arrogant? With every appointment that I schedule on the phone or on the computer, I give a word of thanks. There's nothing to take for granted. In preparing today's show, pull up a chair on Israel News Talk Radio, I asked strangers, or more commonly known as Facebook friends, to send me a note about what they were feeling the most gratitude for today. Three of them stood out, and I really want to share this with you. Oh, I should tell you that my stepdaughter did write to me and tell me that she's very, very grateful for her stepmother. Yeah, I woke her father to tell him that. He was not amused. So I got a note in the middle of the night from Belle. I know Belle. Elder, you know, she's elderly. She's very vibrant, very involved with things. But I don't know her as a girlfriend. And she spoke to me about being a lone senior living in Israel. I am grateful for all of my friends, some of whom are closer than family. They helped me through dealing with the loss of my brother 2 weeks ago. God is always opening up doors for us with his loving light. Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving. Miriam wrote to me that she's thankful for God for giving her a new mate. For me, this comment is epic. I also was the recipient of this blessing. And regardless of whether or not it's a popular sentiment, the God-given opportunity to make a home for another human being is an experience that I, Andrea Simintov, cherish deeply. I do not take it for granted. Thank you, Miriam, for sharing this. But I have to tell you, the award, the turkey drumstick, goes to Shlomo Yaakov, who shared the joy of living in Israel, our country, the only one we have. I am thankful every day for waking up in the morning, being alive, having made Aliyah to Yerushalayim, and living in my amazing neighborhood. After making Aliyah on my way to Ulpan one morning, that's Hebrew language class, I was standing in the center of the light rail train. Holding onto the pole was a fellow dressed extremely goth, all in black, several piercings in his face. He mumbled to me several times, and I couldn't understand a word. An elderly Haredi lady wearing the requisite synthetic wig and pillbox hat shuffled over and handed me a tissue. I was confused, but in broken English, she explained that he was asking if I had a tissue. And even though she certainly could have handed it to him herself, she wanted me to get the mitzvah. In the middle of the jostling crowd, we stood together, me in my knitted yarmulke, her in the garb of an ultra-Orthodox Jewish and a secular hipster, experiencing the miracle of kibbutz galiot. I'm reading here. The ingathering of exiles as promised by Moses in Sefer Devarim. What a country. I'm home. I don't know about you, dear listeners, but I, for one, do not need Cecil B. DeMille, this is me talking now, to split the Red Sea for me to nearly collapse on these new knees every single day in gratitude for the gifts of running water, food on the table, a warm hello. We live in the desert here in Israel, and you know what? It rained this morning. There's heat in my house. I just made a fresh pot of coffee. All is good. And you are listening to this show, preparing your Thanksgiving dinner or your Shabbos Suda or darning a pair of socks. Does anyone darn anymore or anything else? For this, I feel immense gratitude. Thank you for sharing this time with me. When we come back, someone who is the embodiment of gratitude, her name is Kay Wilson. In 2010, December, this immigrant tour guide, composer, cartoonist, jazz pianist, she was brutally attacked while hiking with a friend in the Jerusalem forest by machetes. The Arab murderers left her and her dear friend, Christine Lucan, for dead. Christine succumbed in front of Kay's eyes, and she, my guest, pretended to be dead, bleeding profusely. She had stab wounds, I think 13, 15, 30, just beneath her heart. She managed to crawl toward a hiking path, and I read on her website she just wanted to be in a place where they could find her body. Pull up a chair is a forum, however, for joy, laughter, love, quirkiness, and optimism. And this is why Kay Wilson is the gal we want to meet this morning on Turkey Day. Ever since that earth-shattering attack, she has become a passionate public speaker and writer. Despite having endured the unimaginable, Kay, my new best friend, is going to share with us about what it means to be grateful. Everyone, take a sip of your coffee, take a sip of your wine if it's night. I'm not drinking wine this morning. It's a first. And I will see you soon on the other side.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello, I am wrapped in my blanket and we are back on Pull Up a Chair with Andrea Simintov. All right, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, there is a chat button on your screen. If you're on the website, well, of course you're on the website. How else are you listening? Press the chat button because we have John from Chicago, Rachel from Jerusalem. We have Michali on. We have our guest from Texas who is nameless. And I want to hear you. I want to see your comments. And if you have any questions for Kay when we speak, please put them forward. All right. I've already given you the introduction. I've told you about Kay Wilson. I'm a groupie. It is not often that I get to have a cup of coffee, share, and actually laugh with a survivor of a brutal machete attack. But to make that Kay's narrative, to make that her entire identity, is completely unfair. She's a Renaissance woman, and I'm going to let her speak for herself this morning. And she is a lovely, by the way, our engineer, her Hebrew is so perfect. The engineer actually thought she was Israeli, but I set him straight. Who would talk to Israelis? Okay. Kay Wilson, are you on the line with me? Hello, Kay. Are you there?
Can you hear me? I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, now you just came through. You just came through. Nice. I'm getting a little bit of a kickback. Engineer, there's a kickback coming into my ear, but I have Kay. How's the weather over in Arad?
Well, you know what? I actually moved to Jerusalem a few months ago. So it's looking good and rainy. And rain is always a blessing, of course.
Yeah, but that's not fair because I kept planning the day I'm going to go visit you in Arad. And my husband said she must be Haredi. Who else would live there?
Well, it was cheap and quiet, and that was perfect, considering I had such levels of PTSD, so Arad was the perfect therapy.
Yeah. All right. Kay, look, anybody can Google your story, but we have a lot of people who do not know, and I have a loving audience, a wonderful audience, a lot of people from Europe, a lot of non-Jews, a lot of people who know nothing about Israel except that they tune in to this show and they feel my loving embrace. Can you tell us, maybe short, because we want to use this as a springboard. Tell me, please, what happened in December of 2010?
I will make it brief because there's so much to talk about, but I'm a tour guide, and I was guiding an American Christian friend of mine, Christine Lucan, on a nature trail on a Shabbat, on a Sabbath. Took her up to a viewpoint, and from there I saw a couple of men hiding in the bushes. I didn't want them to see me, but they stood up and they asked in Hebrew if we have any water. I didn't want them to come close, so I just answered back in Hebrew, "I wish," and they went away. And I was simply feeling uneasy because maybe they saw my backpack. So I told Christine that we should immediately get back to the car.
And so you had a premonition in a sense that this was not, you were not in a good situation.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, I could tell from the accent they were, where they were from even, Palestinian Hebronis. I've been here long enough. I've been in Israel 32 years. Mm-hmm. And I sensed theft or something like that, and I certainly didn't want them to steal my stuff. So we started walking back, and I took out my penknife just in case they were going to come and grab the bag. Christine's behind me. She screams, and as I turn around, one of them rams me onto the ground. I'm fighting with him. I manage to stab him in the thigh lightly, but he overpowers me. And then begins this process in one of the most beautiful places in Israel that Christine Lucan and I are being held at knife point by two men with machetes at our throats.
Machetes.
Machetes.
This is like a bad novel. It's a bad novel that you can turn the page, close the cover. This doesn't really happen in real life.
You know, that's a very interesting comment, because part of the trauma and the shock is, I mean, for the first few minutes, I mean, we're held at knife point for half an hour, and the first few minutes, all I could think of was, this happens to other people, this can't be happening to me. And he goes through my backpack and he finds Christine's passport, and she's very brave, you know, she spoke out and she said, I'm an American Christian, take my passport. And it kind of jarred me into functioning. So I said, yeah, I'm a British tourist, you know, lying, because I didn't want them to find out I'm Jewish or Israeli. But he finds my ID card. There's a few phone calls going on in Arabic, and I can hear them talking about a car. And I thought we were going to be kidnapped. And after
right,
an
and this was a right around the time Gilad Shalit was still a prisoner. Am I correct?
That's absolutely right. And that was, you know, that's one of the thoughts I had in the forest. It's like, oh, my goodness, we're going to be shoved off to Gaza and in a dark, dingy cell. But he tells me to take my shoes off. He binds our hands with my laces. They gag us with Christine's fleece. He looks at my Star of David necklace, and he says to me in Arabic, "Shuhadeh," which is what's this? And I answered in Hebrew, "Magen David." By this
right.
time, he'd already found my ID, and he knew I was Israeli. And there we are, standing gagged, bound barefoot, side by side, and I'm waiting to be pushed down through the forest into some car that will take us off to Gaza.
Which, in retrospect, would have been not such a terrible outcome, comparatively, especially since we know the end of the story.
I mean, I don't want to speak on, obviously, behalf of the dead, but to me, the thought of the helplessness of, you know, especially for, let's say, Christine's parents or my family, you know, not to be known where we are, it's like a hell without an exit.
Yes.
So I don't know. I can't speak for somebody else.
But yeah, perpetual hell.
Well, I think so, yeah. I mean, and who knows how these radical Muslims would have treated us in captivity, you know? So instead of pushing us through the thicket, they push us on our knees. I hear them say, Allahu Akbar, Jesus Christ, Christine Christ, Jesus help me. And, you know, I'm gagged and I actually throw up and I gurgle Shema Yisrael. And he starts stabbing me. He stabs me so hard, I fall to the ground. I'm on my side. And every time he's pummeling me with the machete, and I can hear my bones break.
Now, Oh, my. Okay.
Put people off their breakfast or something, but
No, it's okay. The listeners are fascinating. I'm getting some very passionate responses here.
Oh,
you're changing lives as you're speaking. Keep going, Kay, because we're going to soon move away from this a tad. So you're feeling the unimaginable. You can never have imagined what it's like to be stabbed, and this is not the forum. Nevertheless, you're hearing Christine. When did you know that she had indeed died?
When did I know? In order, this is huge, okay? This determines my recovery, not recovery. But the only way I could save my own life was to play dead, and I knew people die with their eyes open. So I kept my eyes open, and just 6 feet away, 2 meters away, I watched my friend chopped up before my eyes. And they leave thinking we're both dead, and then they come back, and one rolls me on my back, and now I'm looking up at the most beautiful pine forest, a canopy, and a sunset, and I see this silhouette of his hand with this jagged knife, and I watch him plunge it into my chest, and it missed my heart by 4 millimeters.
Right,
leave
right.
Again, and then I have one last mission in life, and that's to die nearer where I parked the car so the police could find my body. And somehow I managed to stand, still gagged and bound, and I, step by step, I walk, you know, just thinking of the people I loved and the regret that I hadn't made the most of life. And I thought, if I keep thinking of this, I'm going to collapse. So I started to compose in my mind an arrangement. I'm a jazz pianist of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which it's so absurd.
We're going to talk about that in a moment, because I spent time listening to that. Let's keep going, because we only have 5 minutes left in this segment.
Okay.
And I want to, you got to the road, you thought you're going to die. I remember very much, talk to me about the scent of pine needles, Kay. Talk to me about the scent of the pine needles.
The stench?
The scent.
Well,
you had mentioned in one of your writings that the scent of the pine needles was very prevalent.
Well, it's this duality, you know, that the place where such wickedness and rabid evil takes place is also the place where, you know, I don't want to say I saw God. That's completely not true. But I could smell the fragrant pines, you know, and I could smell the blood and the dirt in my nose. I could hear the birds chirping and I could hear us screaming. And it's just the good and the evil side by side. But I did manage to get back to the picnic table and a couple of people, you know, they called the army, the police. And, of course, Christine was murdered. May she be of blessed memory. And I lived to survive with unimaginable injuries, including 6 snap ribs, 30 broken bones, a crushed sternum, a broken shoulder blade, 30 machete wounds in my lungs and diaphragm. And let me just tell you this. I had to face them in court. And when
I'm listening.
Judge,
go ahead.
Because I stabbed him, it helped the police catch them. The DNA on his knife also led to the police solving another murder 10 months previously. And when I was in court, the judge said to them, as they were yawning and rolling their eyes, "Why did you murder an American Christian?" And they shrugged their shoulders and they said, "Oh, we thought she was Jewish."
Oh, Kay Wilson. Kay Wilson, Let My People Giggle is your website. We're going to talk about that on the other side. You're the voice of, and what's interesting is as we're speaking, I'm hearing light and laughter. I've spoken with other victims, terror victims, and very often there's a bleakness, there's a flatness. There's a near defiance to you. I want to talk when we come back. You talked about the mixture of almost the holy and the profane, the smell of death, brutality, ugliness, and yet the scent of pine needles, birds singing. And this discordance is what I heard in the particular piece that you composed, a takeoff on Over the Rainbow. We're going to talk on the other side. Kay, will you join us on the other side of the commercials, please?
I'd be glad to.
All right. It is an honor. Speak to you soon.
Hey everyone, this is Ari Folder. I want to invite you all to join me on my weekly show, Bulletproof, here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that's spread throughout the universe, both from outside Israel, including also inside Israel. Join me every week, and let's defend Israel together.
Bulletproof. Live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time.
And we are back. Everybody, press your chat button because I love seeing your comments. And it's good to know that you're out there. We are on with Kay Wilson. I was going to say first and foremost, a survivor. But her being a survivor is almost not beside the point, but it seems to be the oxygen that has brought her to the surface. She was a gem waiting to be found, but dear God in heaven, what a price. Now, Kay, first, welcome back. How you doing?
Doing good. Baruch
Hashem. Well, listen, you're British, so are you drinking tea right now or coffee?
No, I actually hate tea. I never did the British thing. Sorry.
Right, so you had to make aliyah.
Yeah.
All right. So let me, you have this incredible website that I've been looking at all morning, called, well, why don't you tell us the name of the website, okay?
It's called Let My People Giggle.
.com, very important.
Instead of Let My People Go. And this is, look, it's kind of vengeance for me, you know, because I believe that the concept of justice is very, very important, all right? I want to make it clear, especially if you have Christian viewers, I do not forgive and I will not forgive. Okay, they're not even
this is
sorry,
wait. Then. I have to interrupt you. I'm looking at my page of notes, and one of the things I had written, and I was scared to ask. Thank you, Kay, for bringing. I wanted to say, were you angry? Are you angry, or are you a turn the other cheek type?
No, listen. I concerning the murder, I think we should rage at evil. I don't think it's just even being angry, okay? These people, and I won't call them animals, all right? They're people. They have finished, terminated, felled, culled the life of an innocent woman. They've damaged mine beyond recognition. They're no remorse. They are not sorry. I do not forgive, and I do not forgive on behalf of somebody else, okay? Judaism doesn't allow you to do that, by the way. Now, that doesn't mean to say that there are other occasions or relationships or friendships or instances in my life where I'm going to hold a grudge, yeah? I mean, it's just you have to have some moral clarity what to forgive and what not to forgive.
I mean, I want to just interrupt one moment, Kay. I'm sorry because there's so many places I want to go with you. But I love this because this is very consistent. You know, you open up your website and, you know, you get almost frightened. Kay Wilson, survivor of machete attack brutality. And I'm opening up to this delightful cartoon. And on each page, there are little cartoons and things that kind of suggestively bring you to a funny place. And then you read the text and your text is pointed, targeted, and razor, forgive me for the terminology, razor sharp. Have I gotten it right?
Yes, I think that's absolutely correct, and thank you for that observation. And this is my vengeance, okay? If we can get people around, if I can get people around laughing, not at the death of Christine, even at my own suffering, that's okay. Everybody can have a good laugh. But we laugh and they suffer, you know, because our life is carrying on. My life will carry on, and that's my vengeance.
I don't know if you heard the beginning of my show. I don't know if you were, because I know you were waiting to come on, but we talked about it, how that every day we get up and we celebrate the opportunity to start anew. This is the indigenous Judaism. And here we're talking about, there was a bleakness. You saw rage. So I see, first of all, I want to just jump in here. You have a page dedicated to the people who saved your life. You celebrate everyone. Tell me about that.
Look, there's a saying, there's a cliche, okay, which says time heals. Mm-hmm. Or there's an upward journey and there's 5-7 stages of what? In my experience, that is not true, okay? My life is not all rainbow and kittens. But what I can say is time doesn't heal, but kindness is certainly therapeutic, and people's kindness, you know, and people's justice, their quest for justice on my behalf, kindness and justice is what enables me to move on. So with the example of the people at the picnic table who I've met, and they were incredibly brave that day. You know,
did you hear, I just have to jump in, there was a story in America, it was about 2 weeks ago, that after one of these mass shootings, a woman was barely able to drive, and people would not help her. One person actually said she was leaning, she said, help me, get me to a hospital, call an ambulance, and somebody said, I'm late to work.
Oh my goodness, well, I wrote an article about this, not exactly that particular incident, but I think with all the exposure on social media of these attacks and shootings, you know, you can scroll down and see carnage, and then you scroll down and you see a hamster chewing broccoli. I think we've become desensitized, or we are becoming desensitized, not only to death, but to the suffering of other people. And I feel that example you just gave is a complete reflection of that.
Staggering. People not taking seriously what their role is, sort of this accidental passing through this orbit instead of understanding that they may indeed play a role.
Yeah, I mean, I do find it staggering. I mean, obviously I have a mobile phone, I'm on social media, but you know, I've seen people in an art gallery looking on their phones. I mean, it's just, there's a dumbing down in society and it's clouding moral clarity.
You know, you wrote a couple of articles, and I urge everybody to please go onto the website. You all understand, I'm racing because I want to make sure that I get in everything before they cut me off at the end. When you get the wrap-up on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com on the page, you're going to see a wrap-up of today's show and all of the connecting websites, ways to reach Kay, ways to hit her website, and we'll talk about that after. In the myriad of articles written, two of them jumped out, just these incredible titles, When Peace Becomes Immoral, An ABC to the Art of Slaughter, and Presbyterian Terror of Love and Concern. These are really in-your-face articles. You're really out there, aren't you, Kay?
Well, I try to be, because I think one of the most deceptive moral cards, or cards that society plays, it's more important to be nice, apparently, and to be well-spoken, or not to get angry, than it is to be furious with a false moral equivalence, or to be furious with murder and rage. You know, I mean, everything today is becoming so politically correct. You can't say anything. Feelings are being squashed. And it's a very, very dangerous place to be for society and also for the individual.
Very shackling for a radio host, I may add, which I hope will not cripple me. Go ahead.
I remember it was staggering once. There was one after one of the terror attacks in Europe, which ISIS did. I remember this person photobombed one of the British TV channels, and he used the F word, which I won't say in your program because I don't want to get you into trouble, okay?
Right.
But he said F ISIS, and the anchor was so, she was more shocked that somebody would say the F word than at the carnage in the background. And that is where everything has all got screwed up, you know? It's something wrong. The axis of world morality is leaning. It's off. It's off.
There's something extremely twisted. And here, now it's interesting because you're photographed with some of my gurus. And actually, I try not to let too much of my personal belief system out. But when I see pictures of you with Judah Pearl, with Mossab Hassan Yosef, brave, oh my gosh, Melanie Phillips, Dennis Prager, I want them all over for Shabbos separately. And I see, look, the price you paid to be a rock star among rock stars, lo aleinu, none of us should ever know this, but you didn't take what happened to you, and bury it. You seem to be using it with every breath you take. Am I correct?
You're correct, because you cannot, it's all about forgiveness, okay? Forgiveness of murder. I do not forgive. I'm angry, I'm furious, I'm raging at them. And to choose goodness and to pursue justice and to speak out, that is a, what do you call it? I can't think of the word, an outlet for in my pursuit of justice. So I've met all these amazing people, fearless and courageous. And that these people, to use the overword, inspire, they do inspire me. Each and every one speaks out. And it's not just with the famous people. I really couldn't care less about how well-known people are. But I encounter courage on an everyday level with many of the other survivors.
I've seen you holding hands with other survivors, people still in burn masks in Europe.
Incredible.
Kay, we're running, time is running out. First of all, let me know, can we get you on the show another time? I have to tell you, the chat room is blowing up. People saying this is amazing. I mean, I've never had such a reaction. Can I get you on the show at another time?
I'd be honored. I'd really, you know, if the voice can be heard, for goodness.
Now, you know that today is Thanksgiving Day. It's Thanksgiving in America, but it's also an opportunity for us to celebrate. One thing I just want to say, your mother posted that you come from good stock. Is this a little self-congratulatory?
Yes, you know how it goes. You know, it's like mothers boasting of their children.
And my other fun line is, what does the national insurance company say?
Here she comes again. What was it? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think you're right. She comes again. And then black humor, Kay Wilson, survivor, pundit, you wrote, "Don't look at me. I thought she was dead." Oh, my, Kay, brutal, like a life. So leave us with something. Leave us with something that those of us who get up and think that it's just another day, what role do they play? Talk to us, Kay.
Okay, first of all, I want to wish the American people, the great American people, a very happy Thanksgiving, and your country and your soldiers have paid a huge price. May we never forget that, okay?
Thank you, Kay Wilson, for being with us today on Pull Up a Chair and sharing with us the music of your heart, as well as a thing or three about what it means to feel grateful for every single breath. Happy Thanksgiving, friends. So long from Jerusalem. See you next week. Thank you.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.